Okay, it's 490. Perek Dalet Pasik Yud Beis. Baruch Ata Adonai Elohim Melacholam Shakol Liyabish Varayim.
Amen.
Vehema they lo yodu bach shvayis Hashem. They do not know the thoughts of Hashem. Veloy hevinu atzasa. They do not understand Hashem's counsel, Hashem's plans. Ki kibitzam ki amir garna. Hashem has gathered them. Hashem has gathered them like an amir garna, like grain into the threshing field. The goren is not a pleasant place for the grain. Why not? Because in the threshing field is where you step on the grain in order to separate the chaff, the kernels from the chaff, and it's a very violent facility. And it's done many different ways. Typically, it's done with animals. Animals just walk around and they step on it. And by stepping, the weight, the force of the animal causes the stalk of grain to be crushed, and that will separate the kernel, the food substance, from the psoilus. And then the next step would be to take this mixture, this tyruvis, and to throw it up into the wind and have the wind blow away the chaff. But to separate these two, that's the winnowing. But to separate the kernel from the chaff, you have to crush it. And crushing it, there are different tools. The Gemara has all the Mishnais, the Kalim, all of the Shas. You learn about the different types of tools that were used to crush the grain and separate the kernel from the chaff. Typically, you would just let the animals in that facility. You would confine them to a certain area. And they would walk around, and by walking around, it would be separated. Sometimes they would put on the animals certain types of shoes, or they would have the animals drag, they would hitch a board that was full of spikes to the back of the animal. The animal would walk, and as it would walk, it would move, it would pull this board with spikes, and that would crush the grain. So here it's saying that Hashem is going to gather the nations in order to destroy them, to crush them, to step on them, to pulverize them, to punish them for what they have done. And it's a very fascinating type of mushroom that the pasuk here is giving. Let's see pasuk Yud Beis to the Stavid. Vehema, avol hema lo yodu machshavos Hashem. On page 490. Pasuk Yud Beis in the Mitzvah Stavid, they do not know the thoughts of Hashem. Bavur man nosan belibam lehis asef v'loi al tzion. The goyim, the umay yisraelim, think they're coming to Tzion to watch a show, to watch the churban of Klal Yisrael. They're there to finally, like we learned, the Mitzvah is going to Shita Asai. Yesterday he said the word techenaf means they are guilty. V'sachas b'tzion einenu. We can't wait to witness with our own eyes the destruction of Tzion. So they think they're coming there to watch a show. It's a good show. It's a good entertainment. Little do they realize the reason why they're coming is because they're being drawn in to be destroyed. By being collected in this area, Hashem now is going to destroy them. Mashenosan, the last line that on the Metzudos, Mashenosan Belibam lehisasef v'loy al tzion ki lera osam kibitzam. Hashem is influencing them for their evil. K'moshe mekabsin amirei hatzvua, just like the stalks of grain are gathered el hagoyren, to the threshing floor, lechovtam, to beat them, to crush them, bimakel, with a stick, viladusham, and to thresh them. Here he says it with a stick. Okay, sometimes it was done by people, But the Uldusham threshing was done by animals, was done by people. They're being brought over here. They're being brought over here for their detriment. Okay, let's see Rash.
Rabbi Hillel explains when Kamis go Gumogos, it's going to happen in Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
They're going to kill each other, and for the sake of the Jews being able to witness them destroying themselves.
It's the other way around. It's going to be the other way around to watch. So according to what you just said, the Rabbi Ronel, if you go back to Pasuk Yud Aleph, then what it says, V'sachas b'tzion einenu, you can suggest in his understanding that those words refer to us. That we, Klal Yisrael, when the Goyim are being collected to tzion, we will witness their destruction.
Right,
they think, right, so that's the whole different translation.
Idea is that we'll see that the Muslims and Christians, however it is, they will converge on Israel. We'll think it's all over for us now.
It's the opposite. They're going to destroy themselves.
Right.
They're going to kill each other.
The purpose of what happened in Eretz Israel is so that we could witness their destruction.
All right, so that's a whole new paragraph. If we would take that to,
right,
to the end, you can inject that into the last three words of the previous pasuk, and translate einenu to mean our eyes, the eyes of the Jewish people,
right,
not like everyone we learned yesterday translated the word einenu to referring to the eyes of the goyim, the speaker. We learned yesterday the speaker, the subject of this expression, the sachas betzio in einenu are. The Ummah Yisrael, the subject is the Ummah Yisrael. The only question is, does it mean that they're saying we can't wait to see the Jewish people destroyed? Or does it mean that all of the visions, all of the prophecies, the blessings that will happen, occur in times of Mashiach, will come to us, not to you?
Yes.
But what you're saying in the Barbanel is a different approach, which means that by Hashem gathering the nations of the world to Eretz Yisrael, they think they're coming to watch a show of our destruction, but the truth is we are going to now witness their destruction. Excellent. Okay, let's go further.
Both of them.
Well, of course.
We are going to see the other.
Elu divrei Elohim chayim. Of course, I am part of Mutari. Absolutely. Okay, so this is what Rashi, this is the Mitzvah of Nasi Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Yudbeis. So Rashi tells us that we have to read another Pasuk. So let's go to the next Pasuk. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Yud Gimel, Kumi, next page 492. Kumi, Vadoishi, Vasioin, rise up, Vadoishi, and thresh them. Okay, Hashem is hitting us in strong. Disha means to crush. Rise up, Vadoishi, Basioin. Hashem is instructing Klali Yisrael to take an active role and destroy the Ummah Yisraelam. Basioin, Ki Karnech Osim Barzel. Very nice pasuk for Erev Rosh Hashanah. Your horns I have made iron. Okay, Rosh Hashanah, we have the Keren, the horn. Hashem has, I'm giving you horns of Barzel, Ufar Soisayich, and your feet. The hooves of your feet, osim nichusha, copper, vahadikois anim rabim, you will thresh. Same word as it's similar to the word above, vadoshi. We'll hold back one moment. Or vahadikois means to crush. In the Mitzudos Tzion, let's see how he translates the word vahadikois. Inyan shechika means to grind. Okay, to grind, to pulverize. Doshi, right, there are two different words. Let's clarify. The beginning of the pasuk says, Kumi rise up, Vadoshi is Disha. Disha means to stamp. It doesn't mean to pulverize into teeny little pieces. It means to pound down upon and crush. The next word, Vahadika, with a kuf, not with a shin, is a different word. It means to turn into powder. Dak, Russian Dak, right. Dak.
Shibolim ha-dakos.
Very, very small particles, teeny little particles. Daka shabadaka. On Yom Kippurim, they would take the ketores and they would return it to the mortar until it was daka min hadaka. They would grind it till teeny little pieces, and you just by saying that you made a very good point. If that we are going to do vahadikois amim rabim, Chazal tell us v'akol yofel labasam keshu hodek oimer heitev hodek heitev. I forgot the I'm gonna say it's usually heitev. You say malamed shahakol yofe labasamim. What in the world does that mean? What? Shakol yofel labisam. What does that mean? We really don't know what it means. Shakol niya bedvaroi. Shakol niya bedvaroi. So what does it mean? There's some very, very, very. You have to. I don't know. It's not clear if even science understands this. But when a person speaks, you create sound waves, and this is what some of the farshim say. There are many perushim. I don't remember the perushim. The only thing that sticks in my mind is the more abstract, the one that's not really understood too well. And that is when a person speaks, he creates sound waves. When you, the ketores, the 11 ingredients of the ketores are super, super sensitive. Extremely sensitive. And the sound waves that come out of a person's mouth have an effect on the quality of the ketores. And if when you're grinding the ketores, it is accompanied by sound waves, it's a different product. There are studies. You've all seen probably online where they take plants and they play Beethoven. They play some very beautiful music, and the plants thrive. And when they play rock and roll, they take a speaker and they play rock and roll and all this crazy stuff out there. The plants, they die and they wither. Have you ever seen that? You ever seen those videos? You can go online. They're for real. So what does that mean? It means there's a lot more in this world that we don't understand. There are a lot of things in this world that we don't understand scientifically. Okay, scientifically, we really don't understand. And that is sound waves, which is something which is totally not tangible, have an effect on the growth of vegetation. Have an effect on when they would take the ketores, the 11 ingredients, and they would grind, they would pulverize it, have an effect on the product. We don't really understand what this means. I mean, today, the first meeting to wake up, you know, with cell phones. Okay, there's always been this debate: are cell phones the radiation? So supposedly, the radiation in a cell phone is not enough to cause a biological change. Can't cause a biological change in the body. It's not, it's just been proven supposedly that it's just not strong enough. And now many people are challenging that premise. Is that really true? Especially now when they're now releasing 5G. I'm sure you all seen all the advertisements, and they're installing in this country a massive, massive system of 5G, and the radiation of 5G is approximately 10 times more than the radiation of 4G. So people who are upset about 4G, about all the cell towers, you know, you wouldn't want to live on the top of an apartment building. It used to be, you know, that's the penthouse, that's the place to be, right? That's the place that go on the elevator, you go up to the top of the building. That is the place, that's the most luxurious apartments. Today, it's Pikuach Nefesh to live up there. Mamish, why? Because that's where every single company puts their own cell tower. Walk down the streets, look on top of all the buildings. These massive cell towers. And the radiation coming from those things is not so simple. This is not a little device. Those are major, major sources of danger. You want to go live in an apartment right beneath those cell towers, it's not fun. They've destroyed the whole real estate industry. Really, in truth, go talk to a realtor and ask them about this. Ask them about this, about people selling apartments and buildings on the top floor. And if the cell towers have an effect on the price of people who want to live up there, right underneath these cell towers. So we don't know how these things work. And Chazal were way ahead of the game. And they said, Melamed Shakoil Yofe Labesamen. When you crush something, the sound that accompanies sound waves, forget about, you know, electronic sound, is yofe. Now, the drush here is, when the Klal Yisrael is going to be doish, the nations of the world, and they're going to pulverize them, koil is yofe. And the homiletic interpretation is, hakoil kol Yaakov, the kol of tefillah. Ela osilavoy, when Hashem is going to give us the instruction, okay, Hashem wants us to take an active role in putting an end to our enemies through crushing them, pulverizing them, similar to how you crush and you pulverize ketores. And with regard to ketores, Chazal say that when they would crush the ketores, they would say, Heitev, heitev, hadek, heitev. They would say words in order to create sound, in order, because melamed shehakoil yofe lebesamim, when you would crush it. So when we crush the umay sa'olam and pulverize them, koil is yofe. But in that context, it's not the koil of just saying words, it's the koil of tefillah. To be successful in overcoming the umay sa'olam, Yimos HaMashiach, we need the koil Yaakov. On Rosh Hashanah, okay, Rosh Hashanah is a time we have to talk about later, a little drush, is the hafchana between Yisrael la'amim. It's really, that's something very, very, very fascinating idea about Rosh Hashanah, more so than any other Yom Tov. It's more than any other Yom Tov, Asher Bochar Banu Mikol Ho'anim. From the roots. Shavuos and Pesach is the Zman Asher Bochar Banu Mikol Ho'anim by giving us the Torah. The purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim was to bring us to Har Sinai, to give us the Torah. But Rosh Hashanah was a preliminary step where Hashem selected Avraham and his descendants to be that potential to be the one that will be Mekabel the Torah. So there were two, really, in Jewish history, there are two levels of Bechira. There was the Bechira of Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov from everyone else to be selected to be the Am HaNivchar, and it was manifested itself mainly in Eretz Yisrael. And the second step of Bechira was the giving of the Torah. And then the two come together. The two come together, a land of Torah. Two different events in history of selection, of Bechira. And here in Yimos HaMashiach, that theme of the selection process will come again. The double selection process will happen again. Maybe you want to say it's the Mashiach ben Yosef and the Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben Yosef corresponds to the revelation in this world that Klal Yisrael, they are the Am HaNivchar, and they deserve Eretz Yisrael. Mashiach ben David is a renewal of Matan Torah, of the Kedusha of the Torah. You see what I'm trying to say? Let me review very quickly. Okay? And you see that over here in this pasuk, you alluded to. In Jewish history, there were two major points where Hashem selected Klal Yisrael. The first, tekufa, of choosing, selecting, that we are unique and special, took place through the Ovos, the Am HaNivchar. Hashem selected Avram, Vayoytze Oysa HaChutza, Kol Yihyeh Zaracha, and I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael. You're going to have a Beis HaMikdash, you're going to have Eretz Yisrael. That was the first selection process. Avraham and Yitzchak and not Yishmael, and then Yaakov and not Esav. All of that was a revelation that you are the Am HaNivchar, you will receive Eretz Yisrael. But that was not enough. The next step of selection, what makes Klal Yisrael special, is the giving of the Torah. That only Klal Yisrael was given the Torah and not the Umar Yisraelah. These two elements are inseparable. This, that we are B'nai Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Number two, that we are, and they have been selected to be the Am HaNivchar. Number two, that we have been exclusively been given the Torah, are two inseparable elements of the nature of Klal Yisrael that cannot be separated one without the other. In the times of Mashiach, there will be basically like a renewal of vows. When Mashiach will come, these two elements will once again be renewed. The fact that Klal Yisrael is unique and special, and thus we deserve Eretz Yisrael. And number two, that we are the nation upon whom Hashem rests His divine presence through the Torah HaKadosh. And that's why there's a double Mashiach. There's a Mashiach ben Yosef and a Mashiach ben David. The Mashiach ben Yosef is renewing the fact that Klal Yisrael is the Am HaNivchar and we deserve Eretz Yisrael. And we are B'nai Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Hashem has selected Avram, L'umas, all the nations of the world. He was the Avram Ho'ivri. He was on one side and everyone else was on the other side. And then Yishmael was rejected and Esav was rejected. but that does not include within it the bris of the Torah. That is the role of the Mashiach ben Yosef. And that's why Mashiach ben Yosef is waging wars against the Umma Yisraelam to destroy them and to show that the Klal Yisrael is the Am HaNifcha. But then arrives on the scene Mashiach ben David. David, Mo Ahavti Soyosecha Kol Hayoim Hi Sichasi. David represents the Torah. David, Eliyahu Hanavi, Tishbi Yitaritz, Kushis V'Abayos, Eliyahu Hanavi. This is the dimension of Moshe Rabbeinu giving Klal Yisrael the Torah, and all the nations of the world have rejected the Torah, and it's something that is unique. V'Niflinu Ani V'Amech, as Moshe Rabbeinu said, only rest your divine presence upon Klal Yisrael, not upon the Umos Olam. They have no connection to the Torah. Here, we see in this pasuk, but you have to appreciate that these two things go hand in hand. And Kumi V'doshi Basion Kikarni Chasim Barzel Ufar Sosai Chasim Nechusha, get up and crush the nations of the world. Your horns I've made iron. Your Parsoi Sayich, your hooves, I have made copper. V'hadikois Amim Rabim V'hacharamti LaHashem Bitzam, I will destroy their prophet. The Mitsudos Tzion translates Vacharamti a little bit differently than I just said. Vacharamti, I'm going to make a cherem. A cherem has many, many meanings. In the Torah, it's used to mean a donation to either the Kohanim or to the Beis HaMikdash. There are two types of charamim in the Torah. We use cherem in a negative way. Person is a bad person, so we put him in cherem, excommunication. It's a curse. He's cursed. No one is allowed to talk to him. No one is allowed to do business with him. No one is allowed to give him an aliyah and shul. He's banished. That's the way it's used in rabbinic terms. But in the Torah, the word cherem means it's sacred. It's dedicated. It's put aside. It's separated. The same as bar from the same root. It's separated for holiness, either as a donation to the Beis HaMikdash or as a donation to support Kohanim who serve in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's how it's been used here in this context. V'hacharamti LaHashem Bitzam, when Hashem will destroy the Umma Yisraelam and their wealth will be transferred to the Jewish people, it will be declared sacred. And it will be dedicated to the service of Hashem. Bitsam is their profit, is their assets, the spoils of war. The Mitsudos, Tzion writes, Chemdas Oshram, the delight of their wealth, the Chelam. Chelam is just another word, poetic repetition, it means their wealth. Okay, Bitsam and Chelam are two words that for our purposes mean the same exact thing. Ladoin Kol Haaretz, to the master of the world, of the earth. Who is the master of the earth? The Ribonoi Shalolam. Who is the first one to call Hashem an Adoin? Avraham Avinu. That's why davening starts with Adoin Olam Asher Molach. The term called Yetzir Nivra. Who is the one that established Shachris? Avraham. Who is the one that said, who's the first one to call Hashem the Adoin? Avraham. So that's why we begin Shachris with Adoin Olam. Someone wrote this in the Sefer, a whole Sefer, and he gave his Sefer to the Gra. I forgot the person who wrote the Sefer. It's a very, very famous story, even though it's so famous, I still don't know all the details. But he presented this to the Gra for a Haskama, and he read this Vart, and he said, this alone was worthy for you to print the book. Just for this Vart alone, to explain that the reason why Shachris begins with Adoin Olam, not Mincha. I've never seen anyone begin Mincha with saying Adoin Olam. I've never seen someone begin Ma'ariv with saying Adoin Olam. Only Shachris you begin with Adoin Olam, because what?
The last thing you go with at night, that's the last part of
Kriya Shema Al Hamita. Adoin Olam is because Avraham Avinu was the first one to call Hashem the Adoin. Shachris was established by Avraham Avinu. El Hamokoy Masha'om Acham. He was Mespalo for the Anshei Sudaim. He established Shachris. So since he established Shachris, we give him, we pay homage by beginning the Shachris with the term that he coined, that he invented. Hashem is the Adam. So here notice that in this expression, when Tom is a Mashiach, we're going back to, this proves the point I was trying to say, Ladoin Kol Haaretz. Why? Why does the Pasuk use the expression of Adoin Kol Haaretz at this point in time of Mashiach and not Yud Kei Vav Kei, not Elohim, not another name of Hashem? And the answer is because this Pasuk Yud Gimel is describing the Tekufa of Mashiach ben Yosef. And Mashiach ben Yosef is coming to renew the Bechira of Klal Yisrael that was unique to Avraham Avinu. That you, Avraham Avinu, you are the Ivri. You are on one side, and the rest of the world is on the other side. You got it right. You are Makir, there is a Creator. Therefore, you will receive as an exclusive gift Eretz Yisrael. It's yours. And your seed will be Koye Zaracha, like the stars of heaven. That is Mashiach ben Yosef, but that's not the end game. The end game is Mashiach ben David. We also need another renewal, the renewal of the Bris Chadasha of Torah. Okay, there's in Yecheskel, there are many psukim that describe that Hashem will give us a Torah, a new Torah. It's a very challenging pasuk, because one of the 13 principles of faith is that Hashem is not going to change the Torah. And many of the commentators learn it means that Hashem will just renew with us our commitment to the Torah HaKadosha. That's another element of Yemos HaMashiach. Because what happened in the beginning of history will reoccur, will happen again at the end of days, in two phases. The Bechira of Avraham Avinu and the Bechir of Klal Yisrael to be worthy of the Torah HaKadosha. Yeah.
Yeah. Avraham also defeated all the nations that had ganged up on him.
Who defeated?
Avraham.
Avraham, right. Okay, Avraham also, right. Mice of us. Excellent. The four and the five kings. Excellent. That's another number nine you can add to your pack of nines for Rosh Hashanah. You're saying something very good. There are how many kings did Avraham defeat?
Four.
No.
Nine.
Nine.
Five plus four. He didn't defeat them. They were already defeated. The four had defeated the five, and then he.
So the four swallowed up the five. So in the four are the five, and now when Avraham defeated the four, he's defeating really nine. It's not a fair drush. It may not get you on the subway, but it might get you through Rosh Hashanah. It might get the rabbi through Rosh Hashanah. What?
Anyway, my point was they lose that the parallel here, right? Here, all the nations gang up on Klal Yisrael, and they are defeated.
They're defeated. So Avraham conquered the world. There were nine nations, and they went, okay, wherever you want to say not, but at the end of the day, the four conquered the five, and he conquered those four, and now they made him king. Maise Avoy Simin Labanim. And it's to him Hashem said, this Hashem gave the land to Avraham Avinu. This is your land. Lech lecha me'aretzchem melatcha elo oretz asher areka. It's your land. And that's exactly what's happening over here. We're using the term Adoin, because Avraham Avinu was the one that began this process of conquering the nations of the world. We're not discussing Torah. We're not discussing yet the Hashras Hashchina. Everything has to go in baby steps until you get to the final end.
I think more than saying Adon Olam, every Shemoneh Esrei starts with Adon.
Hashem Sifas, excellent, true, correct. Correct. Hashem Sifasai. And there it's not Yudke Vavke. It's a very important point. When you start, it's Aleph Dal Nun Yud. It's not Yudke Vavke.
That's Avram all the time.
It's always the master. Avram was the first one to be Mechadish. He was the first one to pray. He was the first. I mean, Adam also prayed, obviously. And obviously, everyone prayed. But the first one to appreciate the depth of prayer as we relate to it in a much higher league was, correct, Avraham Avinu. And therefore, he's the Adoin. Aladoin Kolaret. Let's see the Mitzvah of the Pasuk Gimel here on the bottom. Oh, actually, saying over here that he is the Adoin Kol Oretz.
And the word Betza, it's Betza is a negative form. You take the Betza and you make it Chelem, Hashem Kadosh. And Adoin Kol Oretz, even though Al-Tziyut is
Gashmias, you have to elevate it with spirituality. Hashem, very beautiful. So he's saying over here that there's a process of elevation. To elevate L'Hakdish. Cherem is where you inject sanctity into Betza. And Adoin Kol Oretz is a sanctity. Adoin is a sanctity that you inject into the Oretz. Excellent. So you think these two expressions, they go together. Cherem goes with Betza, and Adoin goes with Oretz, because Cherem is the injection of sanctity into the mundane or negative element of Betza, and Adoin captures a unique element of injecting spirituality into the mundane, materialistic pursuits of the earth, of the Oretz. Beautiful. Let's see the Mitzvah of it. Kumi Vadoishi, Lefi, Shemshilam Le'omir, because in the previous passage we compare the Umaslam to a pile of grain. Omar Loshen Hanoifel Ba'amir, we use language that is unique to the farmer, to the Omir, to the pile of grain. Uritzono Lemar Hine Ata now, Shakulam Nikwitsu Vo Amoid Vaharoig Bohem. Violent words from the Mitsudo Stavit. Now that the nations of the world are here, they're gathered together, they're vulnerable. I command you, the Jewish people, to stand up and to murder them. Even though you're weak because of your exile, I will strengthen you. I will make your horns iron, to gore them. Your hooves will be copper. What is a stronger metal? Iron or copper? Iron. Iron is much stronger. So the horns have to be iron and the hooves are softer. V'hadikoisa tish chakem dak. You will grind them, pulverize them into fine dust. V'hacharamti hu maimer hanavi b'shem Yisrael. Now here, the Mitzudos David is saying something very interesting. This expression is the Jewish response. If not for the Mitzvah David, you would say that Hashem is giving us a command. It's part of Hashem's command. When you achieve victory in the times of Mashiach, I ask of you, I demand of you to take the spoils of war and to use your success to elevate and sanctify the world for my purpose. That is what I think the average person would assume the pasuk means. You do not see this in the Mitzvah Stavit, and we have to see the Mefarshim more slowly. But the pasuk here says Hashem is giving us a command: rise up, conquer the earth. I'm going to give you strength. Do not be afraid. I'm going to give you horns of iron, hooves of copper. You're going to crush and pulverize the nations, and I'm commanding you. Ve'hacharamti. Okay, I guess maybe not. Maybe because La Hashem. Maybe you would not say without. You would not make that mistake. But in any event, the Mitzvah David clarifies that from the beginning of Ve'hacharamti, this is the Jewish response. This is our response to Hashem's kindness that He will bestow upon us in the times of Mashiach. We will not take advantage of our success, but rather instead we will devote our success to the service of Hashem. All of the wealth that will be gained will be sanctified and will be used to serve Hashem, and the entire earth will be injected with awareness of the Creator. If it would have been that Hashem is giving you the command, then it should have said v'hacharamt l'Hashem bitzam v'chem. But because it says v'hacharamti, that's what the Mitzvah David learned, figured out, that this is not Hashem's command. It's our response. We will respond and we'll say v'hacharamti. V'chilam kafal hadavar b'mila yishas, the prophecy, the Jewish people are going to be good, very good. We don't have to do this. It's not our obligation to do so. It's not our obligation to go do to take all of the spoils of war and dedicate it to Hashem. But yet, this is what Klal Yisrael will do on their own. They will recognize this is the purpose. Next pasuk, pasuk Gidalit, Ata, now, Tiskoididi Bas Gidud. Double expression. Hiskoididi means make, now we have Lois Tiskoididu. That means make cuts on your flesh. The Umois Oilam in ancient times, I even saw this in the online very recently, crazy service, people cut themselves. They cut, when they're on mourning, when a non-Jew, this was their tradition, when they lost a relative, they would gash themselves. They would make cuts in their flesh as an expression of grief. And Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, Loi sis goydidu, v'loi sosimu karcha bein inechem lemes. If you suffer tragedy, do not cut your flesh. Do not rip out your hair over the loss of a relative. You're a holy nation. So here, unfortunately, we know the drasha more than we know the Peshut HaShlo Mikra. The drasha is, do not, agudois, don't make for yourself multiple groups. You have to, everyone has, there has to be achdus in Klal Yisrael. God, gedud, yigudenu, there, what does it mean? God?
Yigudenu, yagud, okay.
Okay, let's see what it says here in the Mitzudos David. Pasuk Yudalid. Ata tisgoididi ritzen leimar bismanahu ata edoim bas gedud. Rav tisriti be'evil of itzar. Now, at this moment in time in history, Yimos HaMashiach, Edoim, where the Mitzudos injects into the Pasuk the nation of Edoim, because that's the Dal Malchios. Who is going to be the dominant Malchus in the times of Moshiach, Edoim, you will be cut. Blood will be flowing from your flesh. You will be damaged. You will be in a state of serita, gashes, in mourning and pain. V'derch tzachus l'shoyn neifel al l'shoyn. We're repeating the word multiple times as just a poetic expression. Atenat eskoididi vas gedud. You, Edoim, you will be called the bas gedud. Miloshen of tisgodidu, lo tisgodidu, tisgodidu, and the first word tisgodidi is the same idea. You will be cut into pieces. Motzor sum oleinu. I will set against you a army. You will be under siege in the mitzudo siyon. Motzor ken yikorei hakof askiyosas, a siege. When a nation is under siege, it's called a matzar. And you will now be the one who will be under siege. The mitzudos David, matzars asim asam aleinu, written lemar, vezel bigmul, why? What's shesam aleinu matzar vechur ba'yishet? So he says a little bit differently. I'm sorry, matzar, why? He says something very complex. The mitzudos David, you will now be in a state of matzar because sam aleinu, as a punishment for laying siege to the Jewish people. Yerushalayim. In other words, Asar B'teves. What's going to happen to you in this pasuk over here is describing Asar B'teves. Asar B'teves is the day when in time of the Bible, well, I take that back, that's a mistake. Asar B'teves was the day when Nebuchadnezzar laid siege to Yerushalayim, the Bayis Surishayim. We do not have a date, to the best of my knowledge, when the siege began at the time of the Bayis Sheni. Okay, maybe there is a date, but I don't think we celebrate, we commemorate it. To the best of my knowledge, there is no commemoration of the day that Yerushalayim was, the Edoim laid siege to Yerushalayim. We commemorate Asar B'Teves as the day when the enemy laid siege to the Bayis Rishon. Who was the one that laid siege? Nebuchadnezzar and his people. And that siege lasted for 2.5 years. And so here he's saying, since over here we're describing Edoim, and now we go. They're going to be destroyed. The tables are going to be turned. Mida connected Mida. Klal Yisrael is going to lay siege against them, and it's going to be in punishment for laying siege against us because Matsar Sam Aleinu Bashevet Yaku Al Halchi. You will be hit with a rod on your cheek. Ace Shefet Yisrael Mitzudos David Bashevet. Uvimei ha'goyla, ha'inu nivzim be'enehem, v'afilu eis shefet yisrael hiku ba'shevet al halachi. So this, he's learning the pasuk referring not to what they did, what we're going to do to them, but what they have done to us, is they were mevaze, the leaders. V'makas bizoyoin v'chei nemar, yitain lemakeyu lechi, yispa b'cherpa, may they be sated with disgrace. Give lemakehu, yite lemakehu lechi. Give him, it means smack him, give him a frask. Go and hit him on the cheek. Give the person that deserves to be hit, hit him on the lechi. So let's analyze, let's review this pasuk with according to the translation of the Mitzudos David. The Mitzudos David is very complex in this pasuk. We have to say the Mefarshim, we're certainly going to have another interpretation. But he writes here, Atanat, we're holding now the times, Pasuk Yidal, page 492. We're holding now the times of Yimos HaMashiach. And we've already gone through Pasuk Yud Gimel, the instructions for the Jewish people to get up and to go to war. In this Micha, he has a very different approach, a very different understanding of what's going to happen in times of Milchemes Gog u'Magog. When we learn other Sefarim, we get the impression that the Jewish people are going to do nothing. They're going to be sitting around in Yerushalayim and doing absolutely nothing. And everything is going to happen around them. But that's not what it says here in Micha. In Micha's vision, there's a command. You cannot ignore this. There's a command for the Jewish people, at least according to the parish of the Mitzvot of to get up and to take an active role in going to war against your enemies. They're all here now. They're all outside of your city. They're collected together. Take advantage. They're vulnerable. Destroy them. Hashem says, do not be afraid. Do not think that you're weak. I'm going to give you horns of iron. I'm going to give you hooves of copper. And you're going to crush them. You're going to pulverize them. And when you succeed, you're going to take their wealth and you're going to dedicate it to serve Hashem. And then the pasuk continues, Ata, now what's going to happen to Edom? Edom, now is Edom part of Gog u'Magog? Is Edom part of Gog u'Magog? It never said here anywhere the words Gog u'Magog. It just said Goyim Rabim. He's eating all of these things. Now, Edom, you will be in a state of deep mourning and suffering, which is expressed with the words, Tisgoididi Vaskudud. You're going to be cut up into little pieces, and blood will be flowing. And everything it says now, at the end of this pasuk, is an explanation, according to the Mitzudas David, of the Mida Kineged Mida of the Ribbonoi Shel Olam. Do you know why you're going to suffer this horrific defeat? It's because throughout Jewish history, you, Edom, were the ones who motzar sam aleinu. You laid siege to the Jewish people. You were the ones who bashevet took a stick, yaku, and you hit al halchi. You were mevazeh. You disgrace. This is an expression of, besides the pain of being hit, but the fact that you're hitting someone on their cheek is an expression of bizoyin, ace. Not only did you disgrace the simple people of the Jewish people, you disgrace their leaders. Ace, shefet Yisrael, the judge of the Jewish people. In the Holocaust, who were the prime targets? The Rabbanim. The Rabbanim were the prime targets of the Nazis. There's a letter written by, I remember reading this recently, and I should have paid much more attention. It was on exhibit. They presented this letter. It was in a museum, it was on display. I don't remember, maybe it was even Hitler, Yimach Shemo, who was one of his top people. And the letter was to make sure not to allow any of the rabbis to escape to America. Or for that matter, I'm not exactly the words, because if they're going to escape, they're going to raise a new generation of Jews. So we have to make sure it's critical not to let the rabbis get out of the country. So they should not educate Jews to be religious in the future. Could you imagine? They understood. They understood. This it's very interesting because when we talk about the Holocaust, the studies, you can't second guess anyone. It's not nice and it's not correct. And the people always question who to save when there were limited visas to be obtained. Who got that? Who should they be? Now, whatever happened. It doesn't make a difference. You know, it's not all of this is not relevant. But should it go to Rabbanim, or should it go to children, or should it go to who gets it? Who what is the priority when you're now trying to plan to preserve for the next generation? Should you give it to the children because you know they're the future? But on the other hand, if there are no Rabbanim, what's going to happen to the children? They'll assimilate. They'll assimilate in 5 minutes. There'll be nothing left. So on the other hand, you have to also save some leaders, some Rabbanim, to properly be a source of guidance for the new generation. But if you only save Rabbanim and you don't save a critical mass of children, then who are the Rabbanim preaching to? There's no future. So there has to be a balance. How do you decide? Where you draw the line? Okay, you can save one very great holy rabbi, or you can save 500 children. Where do you draw the line? Tough question. These are impossible questions, and most of the time, the decisions were made for us through Hashgacha. Wasn't a question of I'm going to decide. No one. At the end of the day, no one really decided anything. It's just whatever happened. Things just happened based upon circumstance. Whoever was able to get out, got out. Whoever decided not to get out, for whatever the reasons, we don't second guess anyone, didn't get out. Okay, these are all very interesting things. But over here, it's fascinating that that letter that was on display. It's probably was in the news very recently. I don't remember where it was in the news. Not that long, within 2-3 weeks. So that letter, so that write up about this letter. Probably can Google it in the news section. You probably can find it somewhere. This letter where the Nazis knew that the koyach of the Rabbanim would save Klal Yisrael, and here it says exactly this in the pasuk that the Umos HaOlam, specifically Edom, they were mevaze Klal Yisrael. Yaku al halachi es shayfein Israel. They are mevaze the rabbanim. Everyone knows the famous
Rav
Lau, what?
In his book, Rav Lau,
yeah.
The death.
Yeah.
As he explained, when they lined up the whole city, so they asked who's the rabbino here, and that was his father, and he said it's me. So he took the gun and he hit him in the back, and he fell on the floor, and very slowly stood up. With pain, tremendous pain, not to show his own people that he's on the floor.
To be strong, to give them strength, to mechazek them.
But she said they wanted to hit the rabbi.
The rabbina, they had this understanding. They understood the leadership of Klal Yisrael. It's in the Feirush of the Pasuk. Mamash, Micha is writing this 3,000 years ahead. Yaku al halachi eis shefet Yisrael. The leaders. The leaders of the Jewish people. And for that, you will suffer an extra dosage of Chorban. Ata tiskoidi bas gedud. Incredible, incredible what this prophecy reveals. And you see the pictures of the Holocaust, some of the most horrific pictures were the pictures of what they did to the Rabbanim. You see the pictures of what they did. What?
When you would talk about that period of the Holocaust, you would say, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, would come into the town, and the first person they would go and pick out was the Rav, and they would shoot him in front of the town.
Yeah. My great-grandfather, he was the Rav of Reisha, and he was a wanted man. He was, and he ran, he fled. At the end was, he was together with the Baba of a Rebbe. The Baba of a Rebbe, I think they said the famous picture of them together, the last picture of both of them, of the Baba of a Rebbe, who was right before they were killed. They were there. There's a famous picture of them together, and my great grandfather was killed by the Ukrainians. So they have actually eyewitness accounts. They basically found him. He fled. I don't remember all the details. And they took him out to the forest, and they tied him to a horse. They tied him to a horse, and the horse galloped very quickly, dragging him on the floor to murder him in the most disgusting, brutal way. And he wasn't buried. There was no kavur. No one knows where he was buried. He was the Rav of, you know, my great-grandfather, Hashem Yikum Damai. What? One of the very big cities. Hashem Yikum Damai. This is what they did. And the Baba Vareba did not, I don't know the details, but also, the Baba Vareba also did not have a horrific fate. They were wanted men. And they fled. My great-grandfather actually, we don't know all the details, he had an opportunity to leave. Because they found someone who came to the United States had a visa with his name, with Aaron Lewin, had a visa, so they thought maybe he was alive. So they on record was a person came to the United States with a visa with the name Aaron Lewin.
Tarav Das wanted to get
him. Tarav Das wanted you the one who showed that to me. Can you take a copy? I try to find it. Can you, if you have a chance, can you send it to me again? If you have a chance. So my family, they went to find it. And no, it wasn't him. It was someone else. It was a visa that was issued, was given, was made out to him. But it seems either he gave it away or he never got it. And someone else found it and used it to save himself. And the question was, why didn't he use it to save himself? So there are different theories. So I don't know precisely. The one who I read this, he wrote that he didn't want, he felt it was not right for the Rav. The Rav had to be with his people no matter what.
Rabbi Chanan went back.
He knew he was right.
The general has to be with his army.
He went back to die, clear as day. He was in America and he says he's going back basically to the Mechazik them. That's his job. He can't go, he can't just abandon
it.
He has to be with his people. So that's the whole issue. And then they have Pinchas Hirschsprung. So he has a diary that was recently translated into English. And of Pinchas Hirschsprung, he went to Rav Chaim Oizer to ask Rav Chaim Oizer where should he run away, should he flee. There, no one knew. Everyone was like a chicken without a head. Everyone was running around. No one knew what to do. So Rav Chaim Oizer, right? So Rav told him to go to the Reish Sharaf to ask him what to do. He asked, so it says there in the book, he went to ask him what, so he went to my great-grandfather. My great-grandfather said, I don't know what to do. And he says, I think everything at the end will be okay. Everything will be okay, that the war will come to an end, but I don't know what to tell you, if you should run or not. But he did say, I think everything will be okay. Did that have an impact, that you should not run away? I don't know. I'm not coming. You know, no one knows. But he did. It's clear that he right. It's his diary. These are his eyewitness testimony. Rav Chaim Oizer told him to go to the Reish. Rav Chaim Oizer told him, "I don't know what to do. I don't know what to tell you. Go to the Reish Sharaf." And my great grandmother says, "I don't know what to tell you, but I'm hopeful things will be okay." What does that mean exactly? Okay, it was a very, very, very horrific time.
Also, I wanted to say about that letter from Hitler, about the Rabbanim, when they started the state of Israel, one of the Rabbanim had seen this letter and showed it to Ben-Gurion when they were saying, should they take Yeshiva Bachurim into the army or not? He says, if you are going to be the enemy of the Yeshiva Bachurim, what's the difference between you and Hitler? And that's when they gave the exemption.
Wow.
This I heard from someone who was in...
Wow, that's a powerful story. Okay, 400 boys, right? There were 400 boys. He 400 boys. Wow, okay, that's quite a story. Okay, now if you want to say, L'havdil elef alfei havdalos. Okay, I'm not talking about the Shoftei Yisrael. Fast forward to modern history. Okay, current events. When Obama was president, It was big, big news when Netanyahu came to the White House and Obama was mevazeh him. It was big news. The leader of Israel, okay, the prime minister of Israel came and the way he treated him like garbage. He treated him worse than you would treat some child who won a little league out in Arizona, okay, for some photo op with the president for winning the World Series in the Little League in Arizona. He treated the prime minister of Israel, and it made the news all over the world. That's not so poshut. Okay, it's not so poshut. A person who represents the Jewish people, even though, you know, whatever it is, what it is, it's not so poshut. America, the Edom, is going to be held accountable for their hearts. The Pasuk over here is telling you, it's not just holding you accountable for what you have done or not done. There's also in this Pasuk a nuance, there is a new dimension. Very important yesod of this Pasuk. The Umos HaOlam are going to be held accountable for Derech Eretz. You can give someone $1 billion, but if you give them $1 billion and you spit in their face, that's a problem. And that's something that's not going to be ignored. The Pasuk here says, Yaku al Halchi. There's a complaint against Edom for hitting the leader on the cheek. If you want to hit them, listen, that's a problem. Hit them on the foot, hit them on the leg, hit them on the arm. What are you hitting them on the cheek? Hitting on the cheek is an expression, as it says here, of cherpa. Cherpa. Bizyoinais. That's the tviya. The tviya is, listen, you did a lot of crimes. We're not forgiving you for anything, and you'll suffer the consequences. But you should know, in addition to the crime, you're also going to suffer for the bizyoinais that you've subjugated the Jewish people, especially the leaders. That's not what it says here in this pasuk. We're going to punish you for the matzar samoleinu. Okay, that's pretty bad. No, the matzar means? It means starvation. When there is a siege, the economy grinds to a halt. There's no parnasa. There's no imports. There's no outports. There's nothing. Okay, what is an economy? An economy is trade. The mahus of a healthy economy is free trade. It's a given. Every country has its unique product, and it exports it to the world. When there is and every country has needs. No country has everything. United States, they still need the oil of Saudi Arabia, whether you like it or not. It's still coming in. Okay, they may have all their own stuff today, but they still need all the products of China. They still need Japan. That's what an economy is. And the world needs America. The world needs the education. You know, the education that America provides. The world needs different services, technology that America provides, especially the military technology. When there is a siege, you know what it means? There's nothing going in and there's nothing going out. Trade comes to an end. When there is no trade, there is nothing. There is poverty. That's what the ghetto is, exactly. Starve the Jews. So here it says, you put upon the Jewish people a matzar. A matzar is an expression which captures the totality of to shut down a country. That's one element that you're going to suffer big time for. And number two, you're going to suffer, forget about the ultimate churbin, what you've done, the bezioinais. Yaku bashevet yaku al halichi es shefet Yisrael. Powerful, powerful pasuk. Micha, he saw all of this way, way ahead of his time. It's late, so we're going to stop over here.